listen and laugh as Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the delicious cereals that start you out smiling, bring you radio's new laugh hit program, Stop Me If You've Heard This One, written by you, the radio audience. Stop Me If You've Heard This One brings you the music of Vincent Travers, two famous personalities, Harry Hirschfield and J.C. Flippin, our invited guest, the wit and humorous Senator Ford, and the star of our program, the memory man who knows all the answers if he asks the questions, your Quaker Puffed wit, Milton Berle.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan Seymour, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's the 10th week for this program and the 9th week for this shirt. Before I go any further, may I say to you listeners, if there's a hungry pigeon on your aerial, don't chase it away. It knows a crumb when it hears one. Anyway, it's too cold to chase him away. Believe it or not, I can't stand this cold weather myself. I'm so anemic, 6 of my blood vessels are in dry dock. This time last year, I was on one of those southern cruises, and was I on a fancy boat. It was called the SS Mickey Finn. The sailors were the swankiest sailors I ever saw. They didn't have pictures tattooed on their chest. Etchings. When I got on the boat, I walked into the stateroom, and I said to the steward, I said, where's the clothes closet? He said, you're in it. All the card shops on the boat were put in steerage. That's because they wanted to be near the bottom of the deck. And the, I won't wait. In the middle of the trip, they caught a stowaway, and they made the poor guy scrub the decks, wash the dishes, and peel the potatoes. Boy, was I tired the next morning. But the food on the boat was wonderful. I enjoyed every meal I missed. One passenger fell overboard, and it was very tough saving him from drowning. He only came up twice. He was a stubborn Republican, and he didn't think he should come up for the third time. Thank you. Thanks, Democrats. We went to the West Indies. The West Indies. I caught myself underwears. The water is so... Believe it or not, the water is so clear there that two fishes were swimming around, and one fish pointed to me, and he said to the other, he said, look, sister, that's Milton Berle, the comedian. I listened to him last week, and yesterday I, too, laid a million eggs. We finally reached the West Indies, and things are so bad down there that the kids who used to dive for quarters are now diving for IOUs. And you ought to see those hula dancers doing their native dance. One of the hula girls was penalized 5 yards for having her back feel in motion. And now, here's Sailor Boy Seymour to take over the wheel and get us into port.
Aye, aye, sir. Milton, what do you do when you reach port?
I didn't hear you, Dan.
I said, what do you do when you reach port?
I look at the label and I drink it. Oh, oh, port. Oh, I...
Come on, let's get sailing. And now, folks, I want to thank you for the jokes you've sent in to Stop Me If You've Heard This One. As you know, every joke used on this program is sent in by you, the radio audience. For each joke we use, the sender gets $5 and a case of Quaker Puffed Rice. And if our three professional humorists, whom we call the Gagbusters, fail to guess the correct answer to a joke, the sender receives a bonus of $5 plus a majestic portable radio. You send in the jokes, Milton reads all of your joke up to the last line, and then it's up to the Gagbusters to try to supply the answers.
Very good diction, Dan. Dan, you know, I envy you. You must have gone a lot of schools to become a radio announcer.
Oh, well, don't envy me, Milton. If I didn't go to any schools, I could have become a radio comedian.
very clever, Mr. Timo, very clever. But you know what Confucius say?
What?
Confucius say, announcer who try to be good joke man, better watch out. Wind up being good humor man.
See? I told him, didn't I? Hey, thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet our three gagbusters, the three stoppers for your toppers. First, the famous cartoonist and after-dinner speaker, Harry Hirschfield.
Right here, Milton.
Second, that master of flippancy, J.C. Flippin.
That's me, boss.
And our guest for the evening, a famous wit and humorist, Senator Ford.
Good evening.
And I want you to meet them all. Here they are, ladies and gentlemen. That's fine. Three little gagbusters all in a row. Here's the first joke, and away we go. It comes from Mr. H. Rosson of Roxbury, Massachusetts, and he will get $5 in a case of Quaker Puffed Rice for submitting it. Two men were talking in a restaurant, And one said, I'm going to order oysters because my sister once got a $10,000 pearl from an oyster. What did the other fellow say?
Stop.
We have a very bright guest with us tonight. All right, Senator, you know it?
Let's have the joke. You want me to do the whole thing?
The whole joke, please, yes.
Well, there were two men went into a restaurant, and one of them said, I think I'll order oysters because my sister got a $10,000 pearl out of an oyster.
Yeah.
And the other fellow said, that's nothing. My sister got a $10,000 diamond ring out of an old crab.
Okie doke, that's the joke. Very, very good, Senator. Very good. Very good. Now, here's the next joke. Sent in by Mrs. S. Dodd of Birmingham, Alabama. So I think this is very cute. Stop me if you heard this one. A gangster went into a dentist's office, and the dentist looked into the gangster's mouth, and he said, which tooth do you want pulled? What did the gangster say?
Stop.
Okay, Harry.
The dentist says, which tooth do you want pulled?
Yes.
And the gangster says, find it yourself. I'm no stool pigeon.
Okie doke, that's the joke. Very good, Harry. Very, very, very good. That's the gangster and the dentist. I know a girl that has so much bridge work in her mouth, every time I kiss her, I have to pay a toll charge. Now, here's the next joke sent in.
Very good, Mel. You know, that reminds me. There were two fellas...
No jokes, flippin' flip. Wait a minute, will you? Please, the radio audience sends in the jokes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they do.
Who sent you in?
Flippin', you're making a fool out of yourself.
Yeah, but I'm doing it from coast to coast.
But can't you be smart like the other gag busters?
No. I want to be like you.
Well, I'll admit one thing, that there's no one that can tell a joke as well as you do.
Thank you.
Or as often. Mm-hmm. So often we go to the next joke, and it's from Washington, Pennsylvania, and was sent in by Mrs. B. Murray. And I think it's rather clever. Stop me if you heard this one. A captain of a regiment said to the soldier, he says, you know the orders. When I say over the top, shoot at will. And what did the soldier say?
Stop.
Pretty good, Harry. Two in a row. You give me the joke, please?
Yeah. The captain of the regiment said to the soldier, when you go over the top, yeah, I want you to shoot at will. Yeah. And the soldier said, out of 10,000 soldiers, I got to hit a guy named Will.
Okie doke. That's the joke. Very good. You beat the punch to the punch. Very clever. This program proves that the public remembers good jokes.
What about the kind you tell?
Listen, Flippin', I don't have to apologize for my jokes. You know that.
You're right.
Yeah.
They're old enough to apologize for themselves.
You got it in, didn't you? I think I'll join Spencer Tracy and look for Dr. Livingston.
I'll join Jack Benny and look for Mary Livingston.
Well, the next joke is...
I think I'll join the sponsor and look for a new program.
How do you like that? That Flippin' isn't satisfied with the program. What's radio coming to?
Television.
Television. Well, here's the next joke.
Say,
Senator,
Milton.
But
Milton.
Yes, Senator, what is it?
Do you think that television will ever take the place of the old-fashioned keyhole?
I don't know. I'll look into it. Now, here's the next joke. And I'm repeating and I'm saying, here's the next joke. And it's sent in by Mrs. P. Falga of Cincinnati, Ohio, who will get a case of that delicious Quaker puffed rice and a crisp $5 bill. A bandit held up a bank. And when the policeman came over, he said to a colored boy standing outside the bank, he said, did you hear the shot? What did the little colored boy say?
Stop.
Okay, Flip, what is it?
Bandit held up a bank, and the policeman came over and said to the little colored boy, did you hear the shot?
Yeah.
And the colored boy said, yes, I heard it twice. And the policeman said, twice? He said, yes, sir. Once when it passed me, and once when I passed it.
Okie doke, that's the joke. Very, very good, Flippy. Oh, Flippin', that's a pippin'. Abandon the bank. I don't have to worry about money. I got $3 spread around in different banks. Now, here's the next joke.
You're right, Milton. You don't have to worry.
You're darn right I don't have to worry.
I know it for sure.
You do?
I heard a terrific compliment paid you last night.
A compliment about me?
Uh-huh.
Well, tell me.
Two women were talking.
Yes?
And one woman says, Milton Berle is the funniest comedian on the radio.
Thank you. Who are the two women?
I don't know the name of the woman your mother was talking to.
Why don't you stop telling those 50-year-old jokes?
You keep all the 40-year-old ones for yourself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fellow citizens, now is the time for all
Senator.
Good men
Senator.
To
Senator.
Come to the aid of the
Senator,
party.
Please.
I...
No political speeches on the program. No political speeches.
Well, you know, Milton, what? Every time I see a microphone, yeah, I want to make a radiator chat.
A radiator chat?
Yeah, that's for Republicans who have no fireside.
There you go. Very good. Very good. You're in fine form, Senator. Now, here's the next joke sent in. Wait, what are you laughing at, Flip? The fireside?
Yeah, that's a hot one.
You leave me cold, though. But we must go on, nevertheless, to the next jokeroo from Mrs. H. Rose of Brookline, Massachusetts. Stop me if you've heard this one. Two fellas were talking about baseball teams, and one of them said, "Why can't the New York Giants play pinochle?" What did the other fellas say? It's awfully quiet around these parts. Come on, Mr. Hirschfield, you know it. Let's have the answer.
The Giants, pinochle?
Pinochle, that's right.
Because the Yanks reached the pinochle last year?
No, no. That's all you can meld. That's not enough. How about you, Senator Ford? Do you know it?
Play pinochle? Yeah. I didn't know the Giants could even play baseball.
Oh, we got a few people that like the Giants here. That may be a funny, lie. But that's not the joke. You do like it. You're only kidding. Flippin, do you know it? Why can't the Giants play pinochle?
Because they are not allowed to hold queens while in training?
No, 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 no. See? No, that's all right. See, Flippin, you gave me another wrong number.
Sorry, I'll return your nickel.
What's the matter? Are you silly, Flippin?
I've been asked not to give out that information.
All right, quiet, quiet. Your 3 minutes are up.
I wish the half hour was up.
I better give the answer before we're all disconnected. Here's the whole joke. I'll tell it myself. Two fellas met on the street, and one fella said, "Why can't the New York Giants play pinochle?" And the other fella said, "Because the Cards are in St. Louis." Okie doke. That's the joke. So, Mrs. H. Rose of Brookline, Massachusetts. We'll receive $5 for sending in that joke, plus a $5 bonus because the gagbusters didn't know the answer, plus a case of Quaker puffed rice and a swell portable Majestic radio. And the next joke is from Miss Jeanette Amy of Astoria, Long Island. And I think it's very clever. Stop me if you heard this one. A wife was talking to her husband, and she said, "Darling, tomorrow is our 10th anniversary. Shall I kill the turkey?" What did the husband say?
Stop!
Refrain. Stop.
Oh, no, wait a minute. All right, Senator Ford, tell us, please. You know it?
Oh, well, I hollered the loudest.
No, wait. I know you did, but Mr. Flippin, how long you been on this program, Flippin?
10 weeks.
10 weeks. You want to stay on it?
Sure.
Senator, tell the joke.
A wife said to her husband, "Darling, tomorrow will be our 10th wedding anniversary.
Yes.
Shall we kill a turkey?" Yes. And the husband said, "Why kill a turkey for what happened 10 years ago?"
Okie doke. That's the joke. Very good. Very good, Senator. See, Flippin? You see how well he told it?
I could have told it just as well, but you wouldn't let me tell
it. Look at him pouting there. Stop pouting.
I know the joke. I told it better.
Oh, well, don't pout.
I can have more fun staying home and reading a Sears Roebuck catalog.
Oh, yeah?
I can have more fun staying home reading the Congressional Record.
I can have more fun just staying home.
I could have more fun staying home reading my fan mail.
What, that thing?
Flippin', you're worth your weight in aspirins. Now, here's the next joke, ladies.
Milton.
Oh, yeah, what is it? Pardon me, Gagbusters. It's our lovable announcer, Dan Seymour. Dan, what's your pleasure?
Eating puffed rice, of course, but that's beside the point. Now, here are the results so far. The Quaker Oats Company pays out $30 for 6 jokes used. The Gagbusters got 5 jokes right and missed on 1, so we pay a bonus of $5. A total so far of $35. Oh, Milton.
Yes, Dan, yes.
I see that Gone with the Wind is finally ready for the screen.
Yes, Dan, I read the ads, and the picture is going to take about 4 hours. Can you imagine sitting 4 hours for a picture? Gee, the audience will become dead-end kids.
Well, Milton... I heard that Gone with the Wind is so long, they're going to have an intermission in the middle of the picture.
They are?
Well, that's what I've heard.
Well, you know why that is, Dan. That's so that Clark Gable can go out for a smoke. It's in his contract. And another thing, the movie houses where Gone with the Wind will play won't have any ushers anymore. As you go into the theater, a desk clerk says, "Sign the register, here's a seat on the aisle, and will you stay for breakfast?" Dan, tell me, won't that be unique?
You bet it will, Milton. But every really great thing is unique in its own way. Now, take breakfast cereals, for example. Many of them are almost alike, but Quaker puffed wheat and puffed rice are so delicious they're truly unique. They stand alone. They're utterly and entirely different. They're shot from guns to give you trigger-fast food energy. needed nourishment of the world's most popular cereal grains with a totally different and completely appetizing flavor. What a grand flavor these amazing cereals do have. And what a tender crispness, what a light, fresh, wholesome goodness. So delicately delicious and so completely satisfying that they've become known the world over as the banquet breakfast. Yes, that's the reason for the three packages in one. First, a waxed glassine bag. Second, a sturdy sealed cardboard carton. And third, another wax jacket on the outside. The sturdiest of wrappings for so valuable a flavor. So let your family enjoy them regularly. Tonight, call at your nearest grocery and order Quaker puffed wheat or puffed rice, the world famous banquet breakfast. Remember to look for the big red and blue box.
And now, while our gagbusters are thinking up ribs for his nibs, Vincent Travers and his orchestra play In the Mood, and I'm going to get a glass of water from the pitcher of the same name. Again, we're ready for the battle of wits. Your jokes are in one corner and the gagbusters are in the other. So gagbusters, come out swinging with your left jibes and your right crossfires. And let's see who beat who to what punchline. Now, here's the first joke sent in by Mr. Carl Staff of Newark, New Jersey, who gets a case of Quaker puffed rice and a very attractive $5 bill for sending in this joke. Stop me if you heard this one. A panhandler walked up to a man on the street and he said, "Buddy, can you spare $1.95 for a cup of coffee?" And the man said...
Stop.
If I don't think it's the one you know.
I know the one.
Bet?
Yeah.
I'll bet you the $1.95 it's not the panhandler joke that you know.
Brother, you got it.
All right, come on. Tell the whole joke. Come on.
Panhandler stopped a fellow on the street. Says, "Mister, can you give me $1.95 for a cup of coffee?"
Yeah.
And the fellow says, "Coffee only costs a nickel." And the fellow says, "I know, but I want to buy a percolator."
Okie doke. That's the joke. All right. I'll give you the $1.95. I'm sorry. I owe it to you. I'll make out a check.
Oh.
You'll get it twice. You'll get it twice.
Once from me and once from the bank. Yeah.
We told that gag a few weeks ago. Well, here's the next joke, and it's sent in from Washington, D.C., and it was sent in by Joan Carroll, 11 years old. Two old maids were in an insane asylum, and one said to the other, "I was just thinking, I want a man to love me, to hug me, and to squeeze me." What did the other old maid say?
Stop.
Shoot the gag to me, Harry boy.
The other old maid says, "Now you're talking sense. You'll be out of here in no time."
Okay, don't. That's the joke. Very good. Very good. I'm surprised at you, Senator. That old maid joke was very old. Didn't you know it?
No, but then I'm of a younger generation. That gag was probably told first in the Garden of Eden.
Say, they had some pretty good gagbusters there. Adam, Eve, and a snake.
Yeah, now what have we got? The Senator, Hirschfield, and a worm. I'm only kidding, Clifford. I'm only kidding. If I've said anything to insult you, I thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You know, Wilton.
What?
You've got a wonderful sense of humor.
I appreciate that, too, Frippin.
When are you going to bring it with you?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're
change
welcome.
Records, please.
I'll change the records. Don't give me the needles. Now, here we go with the next gag. And it comes from Clara Lemansky of Kewanee, Illinois. Way out in the Middle West. Stop me if you heard this one. Oh, and this is another old maid joke. Two women met on the street, and one said, what would be the best type of a house for an old maid? And what did the other woman say? Do you know, Mr. Hirschfield?
Let's see. If she wants a house and she's an old maid,
yeah. She's
stucco.
No, Mr. Hirschfield. Clifton, do you know?
No, but if Harry keeps giving those kind of answers, he'll be out of here in no time.
No. How about you, Senator?
Well, I know an answer, but if I tell it, we'll all be out of here in no time.
Well, you forced me to tell a joke myself, so here it is. Two women met on the street, and one said, what would be the best type of a house for an old maid? And the other woman said, the best type of a house for an old maid would be one with seven gables. Okie doke. That's the joke. So, Miss Lemansky will get an extra $5 bonus and a majestic portable radio and $5 because the Gagbusters knew a joke and a case of Quaker Puff rice. Now, here's the next joke, and it's sent in from Miss E. Lynn of Milton, Massachusetts. Lynn and Milton and Massachusetts. That's cute. Huh? Stop me if you heard this one. A fellow went into a restaurant, and he ordered a steak, and it was very, very small. And he called over the waiter, and he said, waiter, I was in here yesterday, and I ordered a steak, and I paid the same price for it, and it was much bigger than this one. What did the waiter say?
Stop!
Okay, Senator, what's the joke, please?
The waiter said, well, last week when we gave you the big steak,
yeah. You
were sitting near a window.
Okie doke, that's the joke. Well, that isn't exactly. You had a seat near the window. That's the way Miss Lynn sent the joke in, but I'll take that as an answer. That's the joke. I know. I wanted to rest myself the other day. Had a marvelous 7-course dinner, 6 baked beans and a finger bowl. And now...
Were you the fella that drank out of the finger bowl?
Drank out of the finger bowl. Listen, King of Hecklers, you're going to fall down one night and break one of your crowns. You know that.
I do. I'll send the dentist bill to you.
You will? You said a mouthful. Now, here's the next joke.
True or false?
We did that.
Well, wait a minute. How would I know? I never listened to this clam bake.
A what? Wait a minute. What did you call this? A clam bake?
All right, a strawberry festival.
Get that senator.
Get him. Get him off the program. Get him. Now, here we go on. Let's go on with the program.
Never listens to the program.
Yeah, well, that's why he hasn't got a radio. Now, let's go on with the program.
What program?
Program. Can't tell the players without a scorecard. Program.
Now, here we go with the next joke. It's from way down Mexico way, and it's south of the border, El Rancho. It's from Señor Jose Nova of Monterrey, Mexico. Stop me if you heard this one. A passenger on a train awoke in the morning, and he called over the porter, and he said, porter, what's the idea in bringing me one black shoe and one brown shoe? And what did the porter say?
Stop.
Harry, you know it?
The passenger says, porter, what's the idea of bringing me one black shoe and one brown shoe? And the porter says, that's funny. That's the second time that happened this morning.
Okie doke. That's the joke. Very good. And Senor Nova of way down south of Monterrey, Mexico, will get a $5 bill and a case of Quaker Puff Rice. Now, here we go with the next joke. And sent in by Mrs. C. Bell of Mystic, Connecticut. Mystic, Connecticut. That's where they make watches and clocks. As a matter of fact, Flippin' had a job. They're making faces. Now, here's the joke, and it's sent in.
Oh, get him. Get him giving me the work.
You see, he can't take it. You see, he can't take it. Don't be a wet blanket.
I'm not a wet blanket.
You're not?
No.
You're not a guest towel. Now.
Well, that washes that up, I guess.
Right, Senator? That's done.
Well, I had to get in there with something.
You got it in. You got the joke in. It's all right. Here's the joke. Sent in by Mrs. Bell of Mr. Connecticut. A dinner guest was telling the cook how to cook a ham. And he said, you put the ham in the pan, and the first day you soak it in rye whiskey, the second day you add a bottle of rum, and the third day you add a bottle of scotch and you let it cook. How does that sound to you? What did the cook say?
Stop.
Okay, Flip, let's have the answer.
A dinner guest was telling the host how to cook a ham. Says, you put the ham in the pan in a bottle and soak it with a bottle of rum.
Yeah.
And the next day you pour in a quart of rye, and the next day a quart of scotch.
Yeah.
How does that strike you? Well, I says, I don't know about the ham, but that gravy sounds powerful good.
Okie doke. That's the joke. Very, very good. And here's the next joke.
Milton, I just want to say that it's time we started to figure out the total prizes for tonight.
Oh, yes, Daniel. We'll tell the people the results in a few minutes and about next week's special Gagbuster 2. There are still a few jokes left over, which I didn't have time to do with the Gagbusters, so I'll read them off at the end of the program. And the senders will receive $5 and a case of Quaker Puffed Rice.
Milton.
Yes, Dan, yes.
Looking at your suit reminds me to tell everybody to post their Christmas packages early.
My suit reminds you of that?
Yes, Milton. It looks like a mail sack with an English droop.
Yeah, well, this suit is a herringbone. Of course, the herring was a little round-shouldered. But, Dan, you just keep talking about my clothes and you look like an announcer with a belt in the back. This happens to be a very, very good suit. I just wore it in the rain without protection, that's all.
Well, it's really a great pretty, Milton, because you haven't that special knack of triple protecting your suit the way Quaker triple protects the delicious flavor of those world-famous cereals, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Puffed Rice. Yes, sir, they're triple protected, and such protection is necessary for a flavor so delicate, so delightfully crisp and tender, so unique and satisfying as the flavor of these great cereals, which have been named the Banquet Breakfast. Now, try either or both of these cereals right away, friends, and you'll agree with the millions of enthusiasts the world over who say the flavor can't be equaled anywhere. Actually, it has a delightful crispness that's unlike any other food you've ever tasted. Light, tender, oven fresh, and appetizing with a mouth-watering goodness. No wonder it's known as the Banquet Breakfast. And no wonder Quaker has gone to such unusual lengths to protect every morsel of flavor. That's the reason for the big red and blue triple package. A waxed glassine bag inside of a sturdy sealed cardboard carton, and then another outer wax jacket. All the flavor, all the original goodness, is brought fresh to your breakfast table. So give your family the Banquet Breakfast that gives you trigger-fast food energy you need. Remember to look for the big red and blue package of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Puffed Rice. Order a package of each from your grocer tonight.
Before our final batch of jokes, ladies and gentlemen, here are the results so far. On our joke jamboree, we have used 12 jokes, the Gagbusters were right on 10, and they missed 2. So the Quaker Oats Company is very happy to pay out $60 for jokes used and $10 in bonuses. A grand total of $70. And not only that, but we gave out 2 Majestic portable radios, too, and, of course, 12 cases of Quaker Puffed Rice.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any jokes up your sleeve, send them to Milton Berle, Chrysler Building, New York City. Now, you got that? It's Milton Berle, B-E-R-L-E, Chrysler Building, New York City. If your joke is used on this program, you'll receive $5 and a case of Quaker Puffed Rice, and you may win a bonus of $5 and a Majestic portable radio. All jokes become the property of Stop Me If You've Heard This One. If there's a duplication of jokes, the one received first will have the preference. Next week, our guest Gagbuster will be the famous screen and radio star, Tony Martin.
Don't forget J.C. Flippin and Harry Hirschfeld, Dan.
Yes, they'll be here too, Milton. And friends, be sure to tune in Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou's Quaker Party each Monday night over most of these stations.
Right you are, Dan, right you are. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here are those extra jokes that I didn't have time to do with the Gagbusters. Here's a joke sent in by Richard Charles Metcalf of Medora, Illinois. A lady said to the butcher, she said, give me 25 pounds of beef and put it on the scale. And the butcher said, will you take it with you or shall I send it? And the lady said, I don't want to buy it. I'm on a diet, and I want to see what 25 pounds looks like in a lump. Okie doke. That's the joke. And here's one more sent in by Mr. Herb Creighton of Davenport, Iowa. A man walked up to a bar, and he said to the bartender, give me a drink before the fight starts. And the bartender said, what fight? And the man said, the fight. I'm going to have one when you find out that I can't pay for it. Okie doke. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all. You've been a very swell audience.
See you next week at the same time. Until then, this is your girlfriend Milton saying good night. Stop me if you've heard this one.
Stop. This is the National Broadcasting Company.